height, around 30 years old, black hair bobbed at her shoulders, held in place with a dark purple comb. She wore a black jacket over a cream blouse, and pale fawn riding breeches were tucked into a pair of highly polished knee-length black leather boots. She smiled at the ragged band.
Welcome to Snakefish. Baron Brennan's expecting you. Do come in.
Who are you, lady?
I'm Carla Peterson. You must be Mr. Dix, from Zombie's description.
Ryan glanced across at the armorer. It must have been the reflected glow of the soaring sun, but he had the momentary illusion that his old friend was blushing. They walked through the doors into the coolness of a wide hall with a sweeping staircase that curled up to the second floor. An elderly man in a dark blue uniform with gilt buttons was dozing at a desk near the door. The woman led the way over a large mosaic picture in the floor that showed, as far as Ryan could make out, a girl carrying a sheaf of wheat rising from the sea with a smile of simpering idiocy on her rosy, dimpled cheeks.
You lost your wag, I believe, Mr. Carter?
Carla Peterson paused on the wide landing for them to catch up. Rick trailed at the rear, panting with the effort of climbing.
That's right. 3 days up in the hills.
Where were you coming from?
South.
And you were going?
North.
Not a man to give too much away, are you, Mr. Carter?
Man who gives everything away finds he has nothing left for himself.
True. Very true. Now, just along here, the third door.
Every now and again throughout the Deathlands, Ryan had stumbled on places where neutron bombs had left buildings virtually untouched. The town hall of Snakefish was like that. Cold stone. Benches padded with worn green leather. Doors that had frosted glass in their top halves. And names painted in almost illegible gold leaf with their jobs.
Milius Haldeman, Registrar. Rowena Southwell, School Inspectorate. Crawford Fargo, Highways. Angus Wilson, Divorce Counselor.
So many names and civic appointments, Mr. Carter. All dead these 100 years. The Baron only uses a small part of the hall now. With around 2,000 souls in the ville, the administration is kind of low-key.
Carla paused in front of a door, much like the others, except that the gold paint was fresher. Edgar Brennan, Baron.
Come in! Come in! Said the mayor, looking bigger and bigger, and in did walk.
Doc caught the wary look of bewilderment on everyone's faces.
The man is quoting an old poem. He's not mad, though perhaps quite literate.
The office of the Baron was huge, with floor-to-ceiling windows on one side that opened onto a balcony and overlooked the desert. There was a threadbare strip of carpet covering a floor of wooden tiles. A massive bookcase ran the length of the wall on the left. But the glass doors were cracked, and the shelves only held a half dozen tattered and spineless volumes. There was a variety of unmatching chairs and a sagging sofa. The room was totally dominated by an enormous mahogany desk, which was buried with piles of paper, folders, and files. It was just possible to make out the shadowy figure of Baron Edgar Brennan of Snakefish lurking behind them.
Greetings, gentlemen. Ladies, come on in. Come on in. Oh, sit down. Have a seat. Sit down.
Carla Peterson ran rapidly through the introductions. As with Zombie, Ryan was impressed with the way she remembered all of their names. The only one that she seemed to falter over was J.B. Dix. They sat down, finding places among the chairs. Miss Peterson perched on the edge of a small table near the window, next to J.B.
I would sit down as well, but I think I would vanish. I'm a little deficient in the department of leg length.
Ryan had thought that the Baron was already sitting down.
Lost their wag 3 days, Edgar. Looking for food and lodging for 2 or 3 days before they move on.
Oh, lost their wag?
Brennan toddled around the desk and leaned against it.
To find a wag is lucky. To lose one smacks of carelessness. How come you lost your wag?
Ryan was so fascinated by the strange appearance of the Snakefish Baron that his mind wandered off the question.
Lost... a fire. Electric short. Fire in the night. Burned out. In the hills.
Didn't hurt any snakes, did you?
No, we didn't.
Ah, good. Good, good.
Edgar Brennan was around 4 feet 10 inches tall, a rotund and yet oddly dignified figure. He wore a shirt of dazzling white and a paisley cravat knotted around the throat. He looked to be somewhere in his late 60s. His pants were neatly pressed, his shoes polished to a mirroring gleam. As far as Ryan could see, Brennan wasn't carrying any kind of blaster, which made him kind of unique among barons of Ryan's acquaintanceship.
We have a few rules hereabouts. Nothing too strict, I hope. Do you have a supply of jack? If you're outlanders here, I expect not.
Trade ammo. Or maybe we could work off a trade.
That would be fine, Mr. Dix, just fine. This ville runs mainly on its supplies of gas. We are not a poor ville, somewhat the reverse.
Generous, I would hope. Yes, generous.
Brennan's round little face creased into a smile.
We will lend a hand to any weary traveler, will we not, Carla?
We will, Edgar. Though...
A small cloud sailed into view and settled itself in a tiny furrow between the Baron's eyes.
Yes, there is. Mustn't upset the... But a token of food and lodging for Mr. Cawdor and his comrades? Surely no objection to that. Not mercies, are you? Mercies?
No.
Where's Leighton? Leighton is my nephew. My heir. I've never married, and he's now my only living relative. Series of accidents. Accidents. Yes, accidents.
Leighton's out having lunch at the Quick Snack, Edgar.
Of course. Thanks, Carla. I didn't realize how time was passing. Lunch. 3 eggs over easy with a double ham and hashies. Double slice of Mom's apple pie to follow. My nephew is a well-grown lad, folks, but kindly and brave. Only person in Snakefish who'd take up the airwag when it was found. Uses too much precious gas, but...
He smiled the smile of an indulgent uncle.
Perhaps our visitors would care for something to eat?
The woman stood and moved toward the door of the office.
Course. That's a 3-course meal, you see. You'll meet enough jack for a couple of days, Carla, my dear. They can stay at the renter room. Have it charged to the Civic Friendliness Fund.
There'll be a service tomorrow, won't there? Might be best if they all turn up, otherwise...
Otherwise, the moats could name them undesirable. Then it would be a short walk into the sagebrush... And a short encounter with Azrael and his brothers and sisters. Yes, they must attend. Tell them about it, Carla. There's a dear.
Outside the building, everyone heard the angry whining of the 2-wheel wags racing past. As the sound began to fade, a cloud of dust rose toward the window, pressing against the glass as though it sought admission.
Come this way, folks.
Thanks for the meeting, Baron. And thanks for the kindness.
Welcome.
The Baron beamed broadly. Outside the coolness of the shadowy building, the sun struck like the slap of a glove. Doc doubled over, his eyes popping like the stops on a mission harmonium. They waited for him to recover his breath a little.
Sorry, my dear friends. A small piece of California dust found its way down into my aged windpipe, I fear. I'm better now.
You've fallen apart, Doc.
Lori took Doc's arm and kissed him on the cheek. Carla attached herself to Ryan, glancing around to make sure that JB was also close to them.
Rent a room's cheap and clean. Not many visitors come to Snakefish. You'll have to check in any blasters, but not handguns. Never seen anything like that rifle, Mr. Cawdor.
It's a G12